Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
And I've already gave you the introduction, so let's go ahead and start at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 20. As is in the morning, they got up and went to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they were about to go out, to Jehoshaphat stood and he said, "Hear me, Judah," it's Israel, "and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord, have faith in the Lord your God, and he will establish you." How many of you would love to be established in God firmly? "He will establish you." And it's interesting how what he connects to establishment. He says, "Believe," semicolon, "believe in the prophets and you will succeed." When you take an Old Testament understanding of what it meant to be part of the community of God and you apply it to the New Testament, he's saying there's safety in the local church. There's safety in a structure of people who speak into your lives. That's part of what's going to lead you to success. And then he consulted with the people and appointed them. And here's what he said. This is interesting. He said, "Come to sing, for the Lord will come to pray for the Lord, and some to praise the splendor of his holiness." And he realized, and we talked about this the last time, that worship is your greatest weapon. And when they went out in front of the armed forces, they were worshiping God. So worship preceded the battle. And it's interesting because he says these words. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love." And I want to talk about faithfulness as the DNA of God today. It's where we're headed in the next couple of weeks. And about this concept of being faithful to God in the midst of blessings. The moment they began to shout and praise God, the moment they began to worship, their enemies heard their worship. And it actually became an ambush. How many of you would love to ambush what's been trying to ambush you? Well, you're not that smart. God knows how to do it. We don't. And so when they went up against the Ammonites and the Moabites and the inhabitants of Mount Seir who came to fight against Judah, the Bible says instantly, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest battles of their life was erased suddenly. They came to a place to where the battle was over, that God answered them. And it said the Ammonites and Moabites turns against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and completely annihilated them. So when God gets to the point in your life where he answers you and gives you a yes to your questions and your beggings and proceedings before God and your anguish and your pain, the Bible says that when God does that, he'll not only destroy your enemies, he'll wipe them out completely where they'll never be able to wipe you out again. And God did this, and when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy each other. In other words, God got involved finally and heard their cry during the worst time of their life. And not only did God show up, God showed off. And he defeated their enemies through their worship. And not only did he defeat their enemies, he annihilated them, wiped them off the face of the map. And any little elements remained, God turned the enemy against the enemy, and the enemies destroyed the enemies. That's what the Bible's saying here. And so when Judah took place over the wilderness and looked towards the multitude, and there were corpses laying on the ground. In other words, the battle is over. God's answered you about your ex-wife that has tormented you, about your children, or God has answered you about the promotion you've been wanting, or God's answered you about the return of your children to the faith, or God's answered you in the roughest thing that you've ever been through in your life. One of the characteristics is God will completely annihilate what's been trying to annihilate you. When he removes it, he removes it. But not only will he remove it, you will then find yourself in the midst of your enemies and you will get their spoils. In other words, the Bible says that Jehoshaphat went to the armies that was trying to defeat them. They're all dead. And he says here, there were corpses laying on the ground that no one had escaped. Then Jehoshaphat and his people went together to plunder, which means that they plundered the goods of the people that were defeating them. How many of you like it when not only what's trying to defeat you is defeated by God, and God defeats your enemy and clearly wipes him off the face of the map and takes care of the situation, removes it to where there's not even a minuscule understanding that you're still in any kind of battle. It's clearly that you're in victory, and that he not only completely annihilates what's trying to annihilate you, he turns around and uses your enemies to bless you. And so the Bible says plunder the goods of the Egyptians. It was a very common trait in the Old Testament and New Testament. Then Jehoshaphat and his people went together to plunder, and they found amongst them an abundance of good in the bodies and the valuable items on the bodies. So what they would do after a battle is they would go and they would take the wisdom of the nation. And you would think this is just money or coins. It was much more than money and coins. It was their ideas, their technology, their arsenal, their arms, the way they fought. Different countries fought different ways. I actually got to see in the British Museum last week the stones that David would have used 2,000 years or 3,000 years old from the time of the Davidic kingdom, when you could sling a stone and kill someone. It was actually the most ferocious arm they had in any kind of battle, because the Bible said there was actual men who could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. This stone slinging was so powerful that it actually could kill someone a mile away. And I always thought they were little bitty stones. No, they're about that big. And so a big stone cracked Goliath in the head, no doubt about it, and sent him tumbling down. And so when it says that he walked through the battle and bodies and valuables were there, they stripped him until nobody could carry more. In other words, God not only got you out of what you were going through, he not only defeated your enemy so you'll never have to worry about going through this again, he then turns around and blesses you with the blessings of your enemy, and then turns around, if that's not enough, you have so many blessings coming to you, you don't know how to handle them. How many of you would like to be at that place? And so he says, they assembled in the valley of Baraka on the fourth day, and for they were there, and they praised the Lord. Therefore, to this day, this is called the valley of Baraka. And the valley of Baraka means the valley of blessings. Let me see who has a Bible in here today. Good, good, good. I want you to listen to me, and we'll say what I got to say, and then we'll be done. Keep your eye and write down the word Isaiah 55. The battle has been the worst battle in the history of Israel. Women, all women, especially your mothers and your daughters, have been raped. Persia has destroyed Jerusalem and carted off the goods in the temple of the holy God in Jerusalem, the God of Yahweh. It is so bad that a broken man staggers out, one of which was Daniel, and that there were hardly no survivors. If you were illiterate, you were killed immediately. If you could not excel in the Babylonian kingdom, you died. If you were a vagabond or a farmer, it was over for you. But if you had a trade like agriculture, you got to live. There is this man in the midst of this transporting from Jerusalem to Babylonia in the Persian Empire, where there was a stench of blood in the air. The temple was on fire. It had been destroyed. Their greatest enemy was gloating over them, and they'd been destroyed by their enemy. There's this man that has this deeply disillusionment with God. I went in a battle, and God, where were you? Why did you let me get defeated in my battle? This man I'm talking about had no good evidence left on which to hang any kind of hope that there would be a different future. You ever felt that low before? He had the taste of ashes in his mouth, and he thought God had left him. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, God hadn't left him. God said, it's test time. I blessed you. I defeated the Ammonites. I defeated the Canaanites. I defeated the Hittites. I let you cross Chile Jordan. I gave you a land that was not yours. I fed you with milk and honey. I did miracles in the Red Sea. And let's get this straight. I gave you a wife after yours left you. I gave you a child after your first one died. I turned around and I've been faithful to you. I was faithful to you when you were unfaithful to me. And that's one of the things about faithfulness. when God's faithfulness is faithful even in your sinfulness. How many of you ever walked away from God or had a season of being away from God and you knew God still had his hand on you? Let me see your hands. And some of you old liners may not believe that, but I do. It's harder to get away from God than what you think. Amen? But God does spank people. He says, if I don't discipline you, I don't love you. And so God looks at the children of Jerusalem and he tells this guy, and let me tell you his name. You're not going to believe his name. His name is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah looks at God and said, God, are you mad at me? Do you hate me? You ever asked that question? I have. I asked it recently in the last 6 months. God, did I do something wrong? Do you hate me? Anybody been like that? Let me see your heads. Rest of you liars, keep your hands down. Jeremiah said, God, do you hate me? What's going on here? And God said, I was faithful to you. You lost it all. You didn't have a home. You were a prisoner making bricks with straw in Egypt. I sent locusts. I turned the water to blood. I did one miracle after another for you, and you let the prosperity take you away from me. I blessed you with grapes bigger than you've ever seen before. I blessed you with a home you've never even lived in before. I blessed you with a boat so you could go to Kentucky Lake. I blessed you. Now my question is, where are you? My question is not whether I can defeat your enemy, shut your husband up, give you the wife you lost. That's no job for me. I can do it instantly. If I speak the word, it'll happen. The real issue is, I want to know that if I lay the head of Goliath at your feet, what shall you do in the morning? Will you serve me? Do you think that I don't know a God that knows everything? Do you think that I don't know that your trouble's not driving you to me? Are you unaware that I don't realize that you pray more when your back's against the wall? Do you not understand that you love me right now because you don't have an option B? Your life went through hell. You never missed church. You came all of the time. The most dangerous place in your life is not the moment you realize your house is empty and your wife has left you. The most dangerous place in your life is not when you find the bong in the bedroom of your boy. The most dangerous place in your life is not when you want to give up. It is not when you pray and you say, God, and you cry yourself to sleep and you're full of anxiety. That is not the toughest time in your life. The toughest time in your life is when God lays the head of Goliath at your feet. What shall you do in the morning? If God blessed you, would you still stand? And that's the question God has laid on my heart to ask you. If he blessed you, would you still stand? And I believe that God is looking for some people that don't have to be motivated to intercessory prayer because hell is on your doorstep. I believe that God is looking for a group of men and women who will love him and through discipline pray because they know him. You see, I always know when people are about to backslide. Let me tell you the easy ones to spot. It's like picking off pigeons. It's the ones that always got to be up here. Always got to hear a word from God. Always got a prophecy. Always are hearing voices. Always got to dance. Always got to run the aisles. Always, always got to be up. I'm going, you're not going to make it another month. Because God never intended for life to be lived on a mountaintop. Let me make that clear to you. God never intended for you to live on a mountaintop your whole life. He said, if you serve me and commit your life to my lordship, people are going to make fun of you. You're going to be persecuted for my name's sake. If I was persecuted, so you're going to be persecuted. But neither was life meant to be lived in the valleys. I am absolutely convinced that most valleys you go through and that I go through are needless. Absolutely needless. I think the wise ones learn to live faithful day in and day out like this. Because that's how life was meant to live. And the problem is, no one knows how to live life like this. When you live life like this, the lights are on. When you live life like this, your insurance is paid. When you live life like this, your wife loves you. When you live life like this, you got some options. And that's the danger of prosperity. When God prospers you, and it's not just about money, but when he prospers you, it means you get choices. More choices than you had when you were poor. Because when you were poor, you had to make a decision to go to the zoo or to pay your rent. I don't know what that rap song is about. I went to the party and didn't pay my rent and then had to... What's the name of that song? That's the dumbest song I ever heard in my life. You deserve to have your lights turned off, you idiot. Pay $25 to get in a bar so you could dance all night long and then want to cry because God left you because you can't keep your electricity on. Good preaching for a white boy. You have to realize that the most dangerous time in your life is when God says yes. When God said, no more adversity. And I can't believe God's laying this on my heart, but I know it as sure as I know my own name. God told me to tell you. He sent me to you today to prophetically speak to you today. If I prosper you, will you still stand? Nothing moves you away from God more than yes. I've wondered in my own life. I've been carrying a lot of heavy burdens as a pastor for the last 8 months, year and a half. And you would think we're killing a sacrificial lamb when I'm in here by myself. But I wonder if I pray like that when there was no need, just hunger. How much would you seek him if he actually blessed you? If he caused you to sell more cars than you ever sold, would you buy a boat and stay away on Sundays? If he gave you the raise and the wife and replaced it all, he promised to restore the years that the cankerworm and locust have destroyed out of your life. And I guarantee you, 100 times in the last 17 years, God has given me that prophetic word at people at altars. He will restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten out of your life. What fool can't pray when you're facing a divorce? What fool can't pray when you need $500,000 for a church project? Anybody can pray when your back's against the wall, but that's not where God says. He says the battle is going to end. And it will be the most dangerous part of your spiritual walk with me. Because if I trust you with what's in my hand, will you run away with it? Or will you do what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Understand that you've been entrusted. Or in Matthew chapter 25 verse 21 when he says, the faithful slave. The faithful slave that I gave money, prosperity to. He invested it and the kingdom grew. But the unfaithful, the unfaithful doulos slave hid his money. and did nothing with it. The question is simple, but it's deep. It'll reverberate in your soul. You're in hell and you're wanting out. And God told me to ask you, if he blessed you, would you stand? If he destroyed Jehoshaphat, what's trying to destroy you, would you stay with him? Or would you buy a boat and be gone every Sunday? Or would you realize you're a steward as a faithful slave? I've told this story 100 times, but I got to tell it again because it's a perfect scenario. I'll never forget the early days of this church. We won one of the biggest drug dealers in Western Kentucky. He was facing 55 years in prison. He would have died there. He was radically converted in those seats. God restored him a family. And God restored to him wealth. And I was standing right before the judge. And the gavel came down, and I still can't believe it, but I heard it. It said probation. And the greatest drug dealer, one of the greatest drug dealers in this area, got off on probation because he was doing good. I testified on his behalf. Radically changed. Saved. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've learned after dealing with sheep so long, I know which ones are in trouble, and it isn't always the ones that are bleeding. If you're bleeding, you're going to be okay, buddy. If you're walking with a limp, you're strong. When he's strong, when you are weak. But if you're strutting around and your wool's clean and white and you ain't got a problem in the world, that's when you're in huge danger. And I watched this guy walk away from the courtroom, and he stood right there and defiled God about tithing. I thought, oh, wait just a minute, you hypocrite. You had no problem when you rolled up into the bar in your BMW and took money and destroyed families with your little cocaine distribution. But now all of a sudden there's something deeper. It'll kill you quicker than cancer if you're a Christian. It's called ingratitude. The God that delivered you, you now are ungrateful to. That you even gripe about 10% when you get to keep 90. And I knew then it was over for him. And it was over for him. Shipwreck the faith. My question is simple. When God lays the head of Goliath at your feet, what shall you do in the morning? Can you discipline yourself to pray when there's not a reason to pray outside fellowship? Can you worship in joy when everything is normal? Do you have the ability within your discipline with God to stay faithful on Wednesdays when he gives you everything back? The difference between those that make it with God and those that don't make it with God, and we are big on grace, but apostasy is a real reality, is the ones that don't make it with God are ungrateful. Do you realize you have a choice this morning? Through disobedience, trials in your life fuels your faith and fervency to pray. But do you also understand Jehoshaphat and children of Israel that there is a land of Goshen and that when the locust is destroying everyone else, it doesn't touch you? And the way that you'll notice Jehoshaphat kept the favor of God in the fence up You hear the old folks in the church talk about, I'm surrounded by the protection of God. I got a fence around me. There's a lot of truth to that. Let me prove it. How many of you old folks, and you may be 27, have served God 25 years. You're an old folk in the spirit. How many of you can lift your hands and testify authentically and truthfully in the house of God this morning that God has never let you down? May I see your hands? The old folks. Ones have been through something and stayed. The ones the doctor looked at and said, it's cancer. You've got 3 weeks. And 4 years later, they're still in the house of God giving him praise. The one whose husband ran off with your best friend. And 10 years later, you're still giving him joy. And you're still worshiping him. And you're still volunteering him. You volunteer more now than you've ever volunteered. You want to know why? What's the difference between you and someone driven to their knees through trials and tribulation? Simple gratitude. How many of you know what the old folks say? He ain't never done me nothing but good. This is so simple, but it's so deep it penetrates you and thunders in your soul. At least it is in mine. When he lays the head of Goliath at your feet, will you serve him? Will you stand? Or will you let the new opportunities of prosperity draw you away from God? Because let me tell you what will draw you away from God more than a whore, more than a woman that's good looking that gives you what your wife doesn't give you. Because you never have adultery for 80%. Let me make sure you understand that. You commit adultery for 20%. You trade in the 80% you got for the 20% you don't have every time. Will you serve him more? I didn't say stay saved. I said stay grateful. I didn't say stay in church. I said volunteer more than you've ever volunteered. And one of the things I've noticed, the trick of the enemy, is I know how he gets. It takes hundreds of volunteers to run this church, but that's not why we want volunteers. We want volunteers because my job is not to go to the hospital when you break your big toe because you kicked your cat the wrong way. My job is to equip the saints for ministry. And when you're working in your gifts, it's a sign of gratitude. And when you are giving sweat equity, I've never been so proud of you than I have by going over the sheets of sweat equity. It's a 2-year project, but hundreds of you signed up, and we're going to need every one of you, and need more. But some of you in here this morning, and I have 21 pages, and I ain't off the first page. Go ahead and come up to the altar, or the band, please. Some of you are going through hell right now like you've never been through hell. And here's what God told me to tell you. And if you've been coming to this church, Georgia, Pennington, you're one of them. You've been here with me 17 years. You can't add up on 2-10 hands how many times I've used that word. I don't use it. Because if it's God, it'll prove itself anyway. People walk around and say, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. There's even a website called GodSays.com. God says, God said, God said. Listen, I don't need to hear voices when I got the word. But God said, for me to tell you that the enemy's not the issue. That he's getting ready to wipe it out in a moment. Because in the last 6 weeks, you've been taught that praise is your weapon. That's not the issue. The enemy is no problem for God. The problem that God has with extending his hand to you is how you're going to treat what you receive. When you get to the place where you don't have to worry about the lights, you got a little leg room, you went from 18,000 to 32,000. Will you golf more on Sunday or less? And I'm not talking about 1 o'clock. Ain't nothing wrong with golfing at 1 o'clock. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about golfing at 9 when that was where you always attended. If he blesses you, will you still stand? And God told me to tell you that he is about to erase the activity of your enemy. And it will happen in a moment through your praise. And he will thoroughly annihilate what's trying to annihilate you, but that is not the danger. The danger is when the plunder is laid at your feet, Jehoshaphat, and now you don't need God. I don't need to pray. I don't need to worship. I don't need no food. I don't need no help with vacation. Will you be wise enough and mature enough to understand how to live with God in everyday life without the friction driving you to God? Without the tormenting spirits, and you're wanting one moment of freedom from depression and he heals you just like that? Have you ever learned? Now I know a lot of you, because I've had to and I know you've had to. Have you ever learned? Everybody knows how to give him a praise at midnight. Everybody knows how to sing the songs of Zion at 5 till 12. God, you got to help me, and you got to help me now. But can you praise him when Goliath's head is laying at your feet and you have got more spoils than you know what to do with? Can you dance in the midst of God's prosperity? Will you pray? And will you dedicate yourself to pray whether you feel like praying or not? Do you love him because you love him? Or do you love him because you need him? Do you know how to lift up your hands and clap your hands? All you people, shout aloud with a voice of triumph when the sun is shining. Or mustn't he always touch your thigh to get you to pray? Or will you be wise to realize that on this earth there is a way that wicked men know not? There's a land, there's a land of Goshen for my people, God says, where the wicked one will not touch you if you simply live in sweet obedience to me. You mustn't have to go through all the trials that you go through. Persecution is different than trials. You get persecuted for being righteous. You go through trials because you make stupid decisions about who you marry. Or how you handled God's yes 15 years ago. So what is the lowest common denominator? If I'm using mathematical equations, it's faithfulness. I'll be faithful through a disciplined choice to say, I know how to handle it. Handling yes is as dangerous to a Christian as kryptonite was to Superman. There's a lot of power behind that cape. But if you don't handle it right, you're going down like the Titanic. And here's what the Lord said to me to tell you. I am here this morning. I have heard you when you prayed. And I am going to remove the mountain that is trying to remove you. But my question is not, will you pray and seek me during travailing tragedy? My question is, do you know how to pray and seek me when I say yes? When I hand the head of Goliath to you and lay it at your feet, will you get up in the morning and still forsake not the assembling of yourself together, even so much more when you see the time appearing. When I remove what's trying to remove you and I heal your son from homosexuality, will you then praise me, or will you begin to take a vacation every other Sunday? If I give you the money you need to get by and give you more than enough money to get by, but to have life and have it more abundantly, will you turn around and refuse to tithe and get greedy? The most dangerous place in your life is the answer yes. But for those that are mature, it's a land of favor you've never known. Because he sees Job. He sees Job. When you lost it all, he sees David, yet though he slay me, I shall serve him. When he sees eunuch, why sit here until we die? When he sees Moses, that you're going to be faithful, he'll extend his hand, and that's the most dangerous exchange amongst the God and human. When the God, Oitheo, extends his hand to an anthropos, a man, and the man takes what's in the hand of God, it's the most dangerous moment of your life. To whom much is given, much will be required. So when you are blessed by God, you will, if you're just why, and it's not about emotions, not about high or lows, it's about this. You just make a conscious decision, I'm going to serve him. Period. I have no problems, but watch this. My bills are paid, but watch this. I have a wife and beautiful children, beautiful wife and children, watch this. Oh, I still remember the sounds of Egypt, and I have never forgotten what the smell of clay bricks and straw smells like. The problem is, when God extends his hands of prosperity to an anthropos, a human being, he quickly forgets who got him to where he's at. And he quickly forgets who solved his ail, that he couldn't go another day yet. But if you can ever learn to remember God in the midst of your prosperity, you will have mountains that will never be big enough for you to climb. You will have a sky that will never be blue enough for you to enjoy his joy unspeakable and full of glory to have that has never yet been told. Anybody getting anything out of this? On the count of three, I'm not going to play patty cakes. I have time today. But I'm not going to take time today to give the gospel to somebody who's heard it 20 times. If you're here underneath the sound of my voice and you need to tell God, I will be faithful if you remove this rock, I want you to come on the count of three. One, two, three. Come and make a line right here. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. And I'm going to dedicate you, and you're going to dedicate yourself to God.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.